Up this week is what we watch in wrestling. It was supposed to be on this week's episode, but the audio was so shit when I ran through it, I was like, I got to scrap it. And it was already late. I was already fucking tired and drunk.
It was that bad?
Yeah, it was the levels were all over the place. It was terrible. And I didn't want to send it to Rich to try to fix it, so I said, fuck it. We'll just do it as a 30-minute smart. But the episode was so impactful anyway. You know, Rich already gave us a rounding applause for what we did. It was necessary. And it's also, I listened back to the intro, the opening salvo, and I'm like, good. I hope other fuckers hear this shit, too. I hope people hear the opening salvo.
They will.
Yeah.
They will, that's a promise.
So what we watched in wrestling, finally, Matt has come to God and watched probably one of the most epic wrestling movies ever. So, Matt, please tell them what you finally watched. And no, it's not No Holds Barred with Hulk Hogan.
No, it's not. I heard to dodge that one. I was told to dodge that one. Nah, man, I finally sat down and watched The Wrestler, which I heard is the ultimate wrestling movie, that if you're a wrestling fan, you got to check it out, which I do a wrestling show, and the fact that I haven't watched this is a crime, basically. I've been told it's a crime. And I'll tell you, it definitely... I'm 50-50 with the movie, okay? I think it's a very good movie for what it is.
Right.
Do I think they fucked up and they could have gone longer? Absolutely.
Right.
Do I think there was a couple missed spots in the movie where they could have really capitalized on it, where, you know, in the CCW scene, I would have preferred, like, the blading gone wrong or something like that, and that's how he got fucked up. Like, I don't know. I'm not going to nitpick it, but it was absolutely phenomenal. Seeing Necro Butcher, R-Truth, and fucking Greek God Papadon made me pop.
Necro Butcher looked older then than he does now, and he looks old as fuck now. Have you seen the pictures doing the rounds? He's all fucked up.
He looks like he's 95 years old.
He's
so
only, like 2 years older than me.
Well, that's what happens when you go through the bullshit reigns of deathmatch wrestling. Which, once he got hurt from the deathmatch, once he got the heart attack after the deathmatch contest, I was like, yeah, this is exactly why I hate that kind of shit.
But did you see who was his arch nemesis at the end?
Well, wasn't that his old school nemesis? Like,
yeah,
but
do you know who the wrestler was?
No.
That's Ernest the Cat Miller from WCW.
Oh, God. I didn't catch that.
Yeah, when he first came out in WWE, I think it was WWE, yeah, WWE, when they did he was the one who originally had the song that the Funkasaurus had. Somebody call my mama.
She's on the road. Ah!
Yep, he was the first one that had it. So, yeah, I enjoy the movie. I like I said, the movie is one of those iconic wrestling movies that people need to watch. But yes, it was way too short for me.
It was an hour and 40.
Yeah,
like, it could have gone 2:30, and I would have been like, you could have really had some more impactful scenes in there.
And and they seem to have taken a lot of pieces from other people's lives. Like I got like a Jake the Snake vibe from that as well.
I also got a Sandman. The whole old ECW roster from the 90s.
Yeah, right.
Old but whoa, sorry, I meant Mook.
Wait,
can we bell that out?
Yeah, I think I'll have to find it. Okay.
Yikes, my bad.
I'll get it.
But it
doesn't really mean anything anyway, because it's like, what you call it, there wasn't really any, you know, Asian people in the film.
No, it just slipped out. But really good movie. I really enjoyed it. I'm definitely gonna check out the wrestler, a QT Marshall story next, which I found, which never the time.
Why?
You know, that's an actual thing. No, I'm not doing it. That's sarcasm. I'm not fucking watching that bullshit. But besides like the week in wrestling, that's all I watched. Did you listen to any podcast this week?
This week I listened to the Jim Cornette Experience, and he had FTR on there. And there was a lot of people who were giving them shit on social media because they said, yo, these guys really think they're the shit. And it's like, yeah, they're better than fucking 98% of the tag teams that are out there. What the fuck are you talking about?
They are. Why is confidence a bad thing? Especially when you're that good.
Yeah, you're that good. Like, it's be for real. Also, they talked about the reason why they left WWE. They explained it in Jericho show as well, but a little bit more here where they discussed the just basically how Vince tried to slam them by saying that they're not Tully and Arn. But, you know, they took it as, well, if you're even trying to equate us to that comparison, that's an honor for us. Like, that's cool. We're happy with that.
I think if there's one tag team who has the right to say whatever the fuck they want, like, based on their skill, it's the Revival. Like, if Butcher and Blade came out and said these statements, I'd be like, get the fuck out of here. But the Revival definitely have, I think, the carte blanche to say some stuff like this, to say what they say.
Yeah, and then, you know, when everybody's giving them the rub and telling them that they're the best out there doing their business, the agents, the bookers in the back, they don't understand why Vince is not giving them more of the spotlight. It's a travesty, and it also is a detriment because now we're seeing the move that's possibly going to happen this week for the NXT stars. It's why would Vince, and I've been saying this for a while, why call someone up and you don't get them, or you don't understand, or you don't like them? Why do it? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Personally, I believe that it comes down to other people in the company suggesting to Vince that they deserve the main roster call up, and him just trusting them, and then he gets a first look from them via Raw or SmackDown and not NXT. Like, there has to be something here that that Vince is missing, because how do you take a guy like, which I think is getting called up, take a guy like Tommaso Ciampa, right? And what do you do with him? I'm really scared that he's going to get called up and he's going to be another Cesaro.
Yeah, and that's a great comparison. That's exactly what I was thinking, that he'll be a Cesaro.
He'll be a Cesaro, and that's just not... That's the missing key point for the main roster here. You have these NXT. It's cool. At the end of the day, NXT is a different brand, but it definitely is still a developmental way to get some characters building. And if you're telling me that you're going to bring up, which my opinion, I think the call-ups are going to be Velveteen Dream and Ciampa. Those are the main two. You know, what are you going to do with them? Which the end result usually is burying them on them, like Vince does with the rest of the NXT roster. But
yeah.
We'll have to see. But like I said, FTR for the Revolution, whatever you want to call them, they have every right to say what they say.
The one interesting story that I took from that as well is when they talked about they asked them about their relationship with Triple H, and they pretty much said everything seemed to be going well, but they felt really frustrated and upset when the 25th anniversary show and the way that they were used for that segment. It was one of those segments to where it would have, I mean, they said they didn't care, but they felt as though that they were treated like shit.
Which was that? That was
the one with NWO.
Right. Yeah. Well, they fed him to the wolves.
Right. And it was the DX NWO. They said the only person who came up to them for putting them over and doing a job for them, the only person out of Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, all of them, was X-Pac. Was the only one stand-up guy who went across and said, yo, thanks, guys, for doing what you did out there. That was it.
Well, I'm starting to realize that as he gets older, Sean Waltman's becoming a class guy.
No, but they've always said that he's been classy like that. They haven't been. There's never been any real. They only just said that he was just fucking doing his drugs and his bullshit. But they never said anything that he was an asshole. He's one of those guys that understood where he came from. Because look at him. When he came in, he was a young dude, and he was about a buck 05 wet. But he can work. So he understand where people come from.
Pretty upsetting hearing that Kevin Nash didn't reach out.
Oh, please. I mean, come on. Those guys are the fuck. They only look out for themselves. They don't give a shit about anybody else.
I'm here for my check.
Yeah. Then the other podcast I was listening to was Jericho's podcast with the formerly known as Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins, Mr. Brian Myers and Matt Cardona. Those dudes are fucking clowns. That shit was fucking hilarious. Their startup and their stardom was fast, man. They got in the game real quick.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, that shit was crazy. He did. They 1 minute they're at NYWC. They're working out with Mikey Whipwreck. They're doing this, and all of a sudden, boom, they're on the fucking circuit with OVW. I believe it was it OVW. Oh no, I think it was if it wasn't OVW, it was somewhere else. And then they were already boom, already getting booked to be edgeheads and shit.
Well, I mean, yeah, I will always say I think the edgehead was one of the best things I've ever seen during that time. And they missed a big opportunity on Ryder in 2010 and 11 when he was over with the Internet Championship, which I'm pretty sure he talked about on the show.
Yeah, he says that began that, you know, once they had their that moment in New York when the crowd was chanting for him, and he said that Vince was in the back like, what's this? What are they? Why? And when he went out and the pop that he got, Vince didn't understand. The only thing that Vince said, why'd you cut your hair? Like, they didn't get it.
No,
he didn't get it. And then when Hawkins, when they came to Brooklyn and the whole winless streak was happening, they were going to give him the win. And he goes, nah, let's keep the L's going. Let's see how this goes, because it's building momentum. And that became the big thing when they won it at WrestleMania, the tag team titles.
Which we were there for.
Yeah, but yeah.
I'll tell you, though, Zack Ryder's story is not something that is new. Every single time a guy surprises him, he cuts it off because it's not his idea.
Of course.
We've seen it with Rusev Day. You know, bro, Rusev Day was the most over thing in the wrestling world at that time with Aiden English and the whole thing. And what did Vince do? It wasn't my idea, so rip it. Like, literally, like, and the same thing happened with Zack Ryder. If it doesn't go under Vince's control and it happens out of nowhere, the only time I saw it happen out of nowhere and it really worked well was Daniel Bryan.
It was Daniel Bryan, that was it. It was Daniel Bryan.
That they went through with it. But I feel like Vince felt like he was forced to do that, and it was too late to push back on that.
Yeah.
With Rusev and Ryder and Cesaro, and the list goes on and on. If it's not Vince's idea, it's washed. So, not surprising there.
Yeah, so as for podcasts, that's pretty much what I listened to this week. We're going to NXT In Your House, which, by the way, I like the look of it.
Oh, it was awesome. The setup was great.
Yeah, I like the look of it, but it's, once again, you just wish that the crowd was there to appreciate it.
Oh, the crowd would have loved it. I love the details. I don't know who created this idea. Ever since the quarantine started, I was like, yo, they need to make an In Your House. Like, they have to. It's just fucking too funny to not.
Right.
And the fact that they had the house set, like, the old days, and Todd Pettengill, whatever. I definitely butchered his fucking name, but...
No, you have it. That's right.
He came back, and it was just, like, it was so fun to look at the setup. But in regards to the matches, that's a different story.
Yeah, so give us a rundown synopsis of what you thought. What would open the card?
Open the show was the 6-woman tag, which was nothing special. It was nicely structured. Everyone got their shit in, and if you're telling me the goal of that match was to get Raquel Gonzalez over, you did a good job. It was okay. It was a good startup, and then. And then after that, we had the Damian Priest and Finn Balor match, which in my opinion was match of the night. I thought it was truly, I think that was Damian Priest's best work since coming in WWE. I think he showed his shit like immensely too. Very big spots with the stairs and just showing how strong Damian really is. Finn Balor being Balor as we usually know him, so. Nothing crazy on that end, but I gotta give my superstar of the night to Damian Priest. What do you thought about that?
I think Balor did a fucking hell of a job with the because I didn't really think that these two would work well.
They did,
and they did. When I was watching the match, I said, "Shit, he this is why Finn is the fucking guy.
He is the guy, yeah, and he made Damian Priest look like a fucking monster. And quite frankly, it put them both over, and it was a great contest. It was the most surprising contest for me because I wasn't expecting that to happen. 100%.
I wouldn't be surprised if Balor Club starts again, and Damian Priest would be one of the guys who's his recruit.
I'm all for it. Fuck that shit. I would be so happy to see that. I do think I definitely love the Prince gimmick where, you know, he brought the Prince back. And like I said, match of the night easily, which Brian Zane, you're wrong. Brian Zane gave this match a 2.5, and he gave the Keith Lee match a fucking 4.5, where I think the complete opposite. I think Keith Lee and Johnny Gargano sucked. Ray, what do you thought about the Keith Lee and Gargano matchup?
I don't understand why. I don't know. There was missed opportunities in that match. I think these are two guys who could have done much more. There were certain spots that didn't click, especially on the outside.
Yes. But, well, I did like when Keith Lee fucking shoulder charged him out, off
right. the plexiglass. That was probably the only part of the match that really resonated with me. But other than that, nothing seemed to really work with them. I didn't see the chemistry there.
Not at all. I did enjoy their work on the front of the house, like with the security camera, like small little touches. Like they had like the Ring app or something like that. But overall, it was very underwhelming for me, which people gave it like a 4.5.
Did you? Did my girl Mia Yim come out with the Timbs or what?
She did come out with the Timbs. She did come out with the Timbs, which people are calling Mia Yim boring, and I'm like, I don't think she's boring. That's I think she needs to go to the main roster. I think she's done her due on NXT. I think that she needs to go somewhere else.
I don't think she's boring at all.
I don't think so either. I just think she needs to go somewhere. I think she needs a new change of scenery, which we'll talk about later because we have a new champion. But I think the women's division by the way, where did Bianca Belair go?
Yeah, we're still waiting for her.
Like, where the fuck is that? Because, well, we need to have a state in the women's division cutting a promo, because I have some things to say about that, because they're missing a lot of bullshit for me.
Yeah.
But no, Keith Lee retains, so Johnny Gargano loses. Then we had
Can you imagine if Keith Lee lost during this whole Black Lives Matter movement shit?
And he had the Black Lives Matter jacket and trunks.
Can you imagine?
That ain't happening.
I wouldn't have been surprised that they were going to do that, and then the last minute said, no, we can't do this right now. No way.
They need to stay on their high end right now, because they need to be careful about what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Up next, we had probably the most disappointing match in NXT history, as Adam Cole took on Velveteen Dream, and I'll tell you from the jump, it was terrible. Up and down, I felt it was poorly done. That's the kind of cinematic work I expect from Impact, and I think Impact even does better than that. Terrible lighting. The car's spotlights made it impossible for me to watch. I actually got a headache from the amount of lights that were in the fucking ring on my screen. I like that they incorporated Dexter Lumis, but I don't think it was necessary. I don't know why he would be creeping in a random undisclosed location under a ring, which is it was just too much for me. Velveteen Dream, which the highlight of this night showed that he's not that great of a worker, and quite frankly, without a crowd, he's nothing. So
yeah, but, you know, and it sucks too, because they're just it's almost like sports. You kind of need that crowd to make you feel better.
This crowd of NXT guys are not helping in any way, because you can't even fucking hear them.
Right.
So they don't even do anything. Velveteen Dream showing up as Negan was really cool. You know, the entrances were nice, but besides that, it was just a mess on all ends, in my opinion. I was so uninterested in this matchup. I don't know if you agree with me. Adam Cole retained, something special. Velveteen Dream's probably getting the call up, but I think this exposed Velveteen Dream for being without these fans, nothing. I've been over Velveteen Dream ever since he came back, I guess.
Right.
And it continued here. Did you feel the same way? Because this was the money match. Like, what happened? What were your thoughts on the overall aspect of this contest here?
I told you, I think them trying to work off the John Cena, Eddie Guerrero parking lot brawl from years ago. That was the vibe that they were trying to get, but instead of it being this cinematic thing, they should have just went with it the way it should be, just straight up. No pre-recording, none of that. Just go straight up with it.
And they did it at nighttime, so then when they were off the spotlights, it was too dark on the set, because they were on the Full Sail movie set, and it was like, oh, it wasn't even like, I felt like my TV broke. I was like, why does this look like shit?
Right.
The cameras were shaking. Just the production was absolutely terrible for that matchup. So Adam Cole retains. Not a good look, in my opinion. Probably the worst match of the night. Most disappointing one. Then we had Karrion Kross versus Ciampa, which done in 10 minutes. They both had some pretty good offense in the beginning, and then Karrion Kross just took over. Do you see Karrion Kross as the next, like, mega superstar? Because I think so.
I thought it was actually a great way to pass the torch in some way, because...
It is a good passing the torch moment, because I expect Ciampa to get called up now.
But they did. Somebody in the back knows this dude and knows how he works. Because it was, what, maybe 5 years ago that fucking Kross has been on our radar?
Yeah,
and all of a sudden, it's like a big explosion with him.
Yep.
So
they grabbed a good one. I'll tell you that.
Yes, they did.
Grabbed the diamond in the rough, because I think him and Scarlett could be the next Triple H and Stephanie McMahon kind of vibe, and it'll be like, and they could have a
yeah. Except for Scarlett could work.
Yeah, except Scarlett could actually work, and you know it's not there because of her dad. But great contest for me. It wasn't. I feel like it was a great passing of the torch. It puts Karrion Kross over as an absolute beast, and then it sends Ciampa off to whatever he does. I expect the main roster to call it from this, but we'll see, because, you know, I feel like he's that guy who wants to stay in NXT, but we'll see.
Right.
And then finally we had the women's triple threat, which was absolutely phenomenal. I was surprised at how good this match was. Honestly, I did not expect it to be as good as it was. Io Shirai is your new champion, as you predicted. You said Charlotte, right?
Yeah.
But Io wins. It seems like, I swear to God, right, if this is the truth, I'm going to jump off a bridge. There's a rumor that Charlotte is going to pursue a men's championship, and I swear to God, if they do that, I will not watch WWE programming.
But which championship you think it is? It's going to be Adam Cole's.
No, they're saying the Universal.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are. That's the rumor right now. People are saying that Charlotte's going to say that the only thing she hasn't done is go for a men's championship, and she's going to probably go for the Universal. That's what they're saying.
Oh.
Because she even said in an interview last week, they were like, would you ever go for a men's championship? And she goes, how do you know that I'm not already going for it?
Okay.
Well, they're about to rip off Tessa Blanchard's gimmick, so...
Which is awful anyway.
It's terrible. Io Shirai wins. All three women looked great. I think this is Charlotte's bow to get Io over, and she's going to be back on the main roster. And like I said, NXT in your house was pretty... It was 50-50 for me. I would give it like a B-, a C+. Damian Priest and Finn Balor was match of the night for me, and every other match kind of lacked, besides the triple threat. Anything else you want to finish up on?
I said, it was just one of those pay-per-views that, some people said like 6 out of 10. I was like, all right, that's kind of, I can see that.
But, yep. And, besides that, let's go over the weekend wrestling quickly, shall we? This might be deja vu. It seems like we did this already.
did we?
did we? I don't know. Seth Rollins comes out, gives his praise to Rey Mysterio, wishes him a happy retirement, says that he would love to induct Rey Mysterio in the Hall of Fame when his time comes, which was hilarious. Aleister Black hits the ring, clears Seth Rollins out of it, and stands tall on the opening of Raw, which... Like I said, Aleister Black and Rey Mysterio together. Aleister Black and Rollins together is absolute magic. Then we had Aleister Black versus Rollins to start off the show, and we had Aleister Black defeating Rollins in probably the match of the night. It was a great contest. Of course, Theory and Buddy Murphy intervene at the end and hurt Humberto Carrillo, which I don't know. I still don't know why he's that over. I don't know why he's being put. He's 205 live at best for me, but whatever. I guess everyone has different perspectives. Probably the best part of Raw, though, I will say, was when Black was restrained by Rollins' people, and Rollins goes, this is what happens when you want to be a hero, and proceeds to deliver a stomp that put him out. Really, I'm loving. I think the best program on Raw right now is the whole Rollins and Aleister Black and Rey Mysterio story. It's truly, truly awesome. Up next, we had Apollo Crews and Owens having a United States Championship match, which got distracted by Angel Garza and Andrade, which ended up being a tag team match, and that was where Crews and Owens defeated them. Nothing crazy, nothing important to say.
I thought that was fucking shitty booking, though, man. I hate when shit like that happens.
If you're telling me we're getting a championship match, don't fucking rip me off and throw it into a tag team.
Yeah.
I want a shit match. Like, I'm getting quite sick and tired of that bullshit. They do that a lot on Raw. And the one problem with Raw I have lately is a lot of finishes where we don't get a conclusion. It's a disqualification or a count out or the person who wasn't legal attacked. Like, we're getting a lot of these false finishes lately, and it's kind of pissing me off. Hopefully this week on Raw we'll get a better outlook on that. Street Profits and Viking Raiders go bowling and announce that next week they'll have a triathlon. I'm not talking about that. Whatever. It's fucking comedy relief that every wrestling company does now. Billy Kay defeats Nikki Cross in a quick matchup, which doesn't make sense now because they lost the titles on SmackDown. But we'll talk about that in a minute.
I meant to ask you, do you think there's probably going to be a teasing of Bliss and Cross splitting up?
Yes, absolutely. Hmm. You know what? I'll be the first one to say, I think once Vince and everyone in the back heard Nikki's promo, they're splitting them up.
And plus, I think it's time for Bliss to get her singles run again.
Anyway, yep, so. I think Alexa needs to go to Raw, and I think Nikki could stay on SmackDown and be actually a really big face in the women's division. I think they definitely do need to split, though. I think it's time. I think it's time to understand that Nikki Cross is better than just being a fucking lackey. Her promo clearly showed that last week. Rey Mysterio and his son Dominic have a quick promo, which just talking about Seth Rollins and saying an eye for an eye. Kairi Sane versus Nia Jax, nothing to say about that because Nia Jax injured Kairi Sane. We already had a promo about that one, ladies and gentlemen. So back up in the go to our full episode to listen to that. Randy Orton cuts a promo on his match with Edge, and then we get Asuka and Charlotte Flair, which had Flair defeating Asuka via count. You see what I mean, Red? Via count out.
Yeah, again.
Every match, it's count out, disqualification. You're not getting finishes on Raw. It's just getting kind of annoying.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good match, and that's what pisses me off even more, the fact that it was a good match, and it got ruined by Nia Jax interference and because of fucking count out. No reason for that. Bobby Lashley joins MVP in the squared circle as Drew McIntyre faces MVP. Didn't last long as Drew McIntyre defeats MVP, and then we get the show ending while Bobby Lashley limps away as he tried doing the master lock, the full Nelson, as it fades to black. Lashley needs to build some momentum here. If you're telling me he's in the main event of the championship match, why does he keep getting? He should beat the shit out of Drew McIntyre tonight on Raw. I want to see Bobby Lashley destroy Drew McIntyre. We have to have something like that, especially on the go home show, which is tonight. So that was Raw. It was okay. I think Raw is a good program every week. Nothing's perfect. On to AEW, as we had a nice 20-minute match to start of the night with a tag team. The tag team of Super Bad Squad versus Kenny Omega and Adam Page. I thought it was a really good match. I thought it was way better than expected. Jimmy Havoc is terrible, but he showed that he could go to this week for me. I really it hurts Kip Sabian in the long run, but overall, I think it was a really nicely paced back and forth contest. What do you thought about this matchup?
I thought it was I got a lot of shit because people were telling me Havoc. I don't like Jimmy Havoc. It's because when he can wrestle, I like when he can wrestle. But
I don't like Jimmy Havoc.
Yeah, but I just I don't see it. I don't know what it is. I just don't see it. I really think Kip Sabian is gonna be a bigger star.
I think that the future of wrestling lies in Darby Allin, Kip Sabian, Sammy Guevara.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Those are like that future. That's the future of professional wrestling right there.
For Kip and Penelope to be a pairing actually works perfectly for them.
Yeah, it does. It looks great.
But
it kind of reminds me of a Mark Mero and Sable kind of vibe. I don't know.
You know what kills me too? It's this Adam Page, Kenny Omega pairing. And I don't know. It's just Page is way too over for the crowd. So when it comes to the time to split them, you're going to have to do heavy, heavy work to either make Page the face or Page the heel or Omega the heel.
Well, we all know Hangman got to be the heel, right?
Yeah, but it's not going to work because everybody loves him.
That is true. So I think that's why they didn't pull the trigger as quick as we thought they were going to, because I think they wanted Hangman to be the heel a while ago, but
right.
The split up's coming, ladies and gentlemen. It's coming because their tag team division is stacked, and they need. I think they need Hangman and fucking Kenny in the singles division. I do. I love during this match though they panned out to like four different tag teams just observing in the audience, like separate, like clearly away from everyone else. Like you get FTR and like the stands like on the top, just like surveying. Like I love their portrayal of the tag team division. If AEW is doing one thing right, which they're not just doing one thing right. It's their tag team division. So we had that matchup. Then we had Brian Cage quickly taking out Sean Dean. After that, Taz says that he felt disrespected by Moxley's attitude, which causes Moxley to come out and then basically facing off, talking about their matchup at Fyter Fest. We had Chris Jericho. We had the Private Party segment where Matt Hardy comes to Private Party in the backstage area.
It was terrible.
Basically, he said that Private Party reminded him of Jeff Hardy and himself, the Hardy Boys. Private Party, of course, popped as the young rookies would. Terrible acting. Matt Hardy offers to help them in any way he can, which prompts Private Party to ask Matt Hardy to join the Hardy Party. And he accepted. So now we have a Hardy Party. Oh, God. The best part was Matt Hardy walking out and just showing his respect to Sammy Guevara, which was definitely a veteran kind of thing to do. I think if Matt Hardy and Dustin Rhodes could be those veterans out in the back, it's going to do wonders for these young guys. Chris Jericho comes out and faces Colt Cabana, a really good back-and-forth contest until Colt Cabana makes a slight mistake by trying to show off a little too much than he usually does, and gets the Judas effect 1-2-3. Jericho wins by Colt Cabana making, like I said, the minor mistake. And I'm loving this story of Dark Order trying to recruit Colt Cabana.
Did you see how bad Colt looked this week though? He didn't look himself. Like I've seen Colt in better matches. Like he did not when he took the Judas effect.
He dropped like me on my comedy night, my 21st birthday.
Did he kick out of that shit?
No.
Oh, I was about to say. That was the finish, right?
Because Colt tried running to the corner and he tried doing a show off move on the corner and he fucking tripped himself up and that caused him to, which like I said is great storytelling for me because Colt can win these matches, but by making minor mistakes like that, like trying to show off a little bit, it's causing him these big matches, which he said in the promo after his loss. I expect him to be in Dark Order soon. So then Chris Jericho calls out the baddest man on the planet. He wants Mike Tyson on a platter. Instead of Mike Tyson, we get Orange Cassidy as Orange Cassidy comes out square face to face with Chris Jericho. He puts Chris Jericho's hands in his pockets, runs away, and escapes by best friends, of course, saving Orange Cassidy, and they flee away. I guess we'll be getting Orange Cassidy versus Jericho in 2 weeks. What do you think about that?
Sounds about right.
Yeah, right. Definitely.
This is the build-up we're getting to.
Yeah, really. But up next we get Big Swole versus Nyla Rose, which was way too long. It was way too long, and my TV went out because it was raining, so I didn't even fucking see it. Fuck them. Seriously, the match was. I don't know anything about it.
For dumpster fire, bro. That shit was a dumpster. The only thing that I love about it is that fucking Britt Baker is around.
Yeah, Britt Baker with the big fucking wheels. Like, she looks like a transformer in that shit. Rolling in and out of the fucking thing was great. But besides that, no. We get an update on Darby Allin saying that he's not cleared yet. We get the FTR interview, which basically they said why they're here, what their name is, and what their agenda is. And then finally we get Cody versus Jungle Boy, which ended up being a pretty underwhelming contest. I don't think this is their last match. So whenever I see like two guys go at it for the first time on Raw or SmackDown, I don't expect a 5-star. You know, that's why the live events are so important. And I think that's where AEW actually lacks a little bit. Because if you put a live event of AEW and you call it like AEW like something, I don't fucking know, and you do it once a week, it gives, like I said, it gives people more time to have this chemistry that I know Cody and Jungle Boy could have. They could have a really good match.
Yeah.
But they need tuning, and I'm not mad at that. I'm not. I don't expect these two to wrestle for the first time And I expect the same thing this week on AEW when Cody faces Mark Quinn. It's not going to be great, but that's okay because it takes time and chemistry to grow a relationship in the ring. And with Cody putting these young guys over, it's gonna take time. Cody of course wins Pyro to end the night. And what do you thought about Cody and Jungle Boy to end the show?
That it could have been better. I like the fact that Jungle Boy was spotlighted in this match. There was some hit and miss there, but I'm more intrigued with what Cody is working with and he's gonna be looked at from here on out, because I really start feeling this fucking heel turn going on. I really would like to see that.
We might get it. We might just get it. I would love to see him. I would love to see a faction where we get Arn Anderson as the manager, Cody as the main guy, and FTR as the tag team in the stable. And then the mid-card guy could be like someone like a Kip Sabian. Like that would be, I mean, call it like Legacy 2.0.
Right.
It's like the AEW's version of Legacy, or something like that. Like they can really make that work. Basically, that's my excuse to get Arn Anderson anywhere TR, because that's what I want. that's what I need. I forgot. I missed on AEW. We had a quick vignette of Lance Archer saying one loss doesn't mean shit, which was great to see. I was scared how they were gonna bring him back after losing against Cody. Just a small minor detail which AEW you need to fucking think about. Don't let Lance Archer knock some guy out in the woods and then have that same guy he knocked out in AEW's crowd in fucking the stadium. Thanks. Details, ladies and gentlemen. Details.
Yeah, there's some inconsistency going on. Like, motherfuckers getting hit with a wrench but then kicking out. Like, I don't know. Yeah,
it can be a little staticky at times.
That, and then, like I mentioned before, I don't want to see FTR go to fucking AEW and bitch about doing, you know, outside shit and not bitch about doing outside shit. That's, you know, what they should be doing in their wheelhouse. If I see him doing comedic shit and then sitcom bullshit, then I don't. Then you're a hypocrite. Honestly,
you left WWE because of the comedy shit. Don't come here and do it.
And they pretty much said it on Cornette's podcast that they're trying to be straight shooters. There, they want to be straight because Cornette was trying to emphasize that shit heavily. Don't be disappearing into a fucking refrigerator and coming out with different clothes or magically fucking popping up.
We're not doing that.
Yeah, they're like, no, we come in here to do this, and then he's like, no, you guys do not need to fuck up your brand by doing that.
Well, Jim Cornette giving the old advice here as usual. So that was AEW. I thought it was okay. It wasn't the best episode, but as time goes by, we might be seeing audiences coming in. We might be seeing a crowd. So let's cross our fingers for better product coming. On to NXT. It was a build-up for what we literally just talked about for NXT in your house. So I'm not going over this specifically. I'll go over it really quickly. Candice LeRae and Keith Lee fought Mia. Candice LeRae and Gargano fought Mia Yim and Keith Lee in a mixed tag team match. Ended up with what the fuck? My notes are all fucked up.
I mean,
hold
who
up.
Cares? We already went through fucking In Your House anyway, so who gives a shit?
Yeah, really. It was Candice LeRae versus Mia Yim. Whatever. The one thing I do have to talk about for NXT though this week was the terrible, terrible finish of the show. I mean, just a few side notes. Breezango's back, and they won the triple threat tag team match, which I didn't like the booking of that. I don't know. I'm sick and tired of every single person who comes back needs to fucking get the rocket. I want to see someone come back and be hurt and still and find out they came too soon. Come back, they came back too soon. Like, it's a little corny at this point. It's just not believable that Breezango could be Oni Lorcan and Danny Burch in Undisputed Era, which I think Oni Lorcan and Danny Burch could be the next, the revival. The UK version of them.
Yeah, no, and they are fucking phenomenal. And it's not even a UK version because fucking Lorcan, I believe, is from Boston.
Oh, well, you know, shit. Fuck it. What else happened? We had Isaiah Swerve Scott in a match. Cameron Grimes got the win. Dexter Lumis scares Undisputed Era again, as we just talked about. Aaliyah beat Santana Garrett as Robert Stone looked on. Actually, sorry, Santana Garrett won. Never mind. Cameron Grimes beat Bronson Reed. And finally, Drake Maverick loses to El Hijo del Fantasma to become the new NXT Cruiserweight Champion. At the end, it seems like Drake Maverick's career in NXT is over, but Triple H offers him an NXT contract. And I'll be the first one to say, tasteless. I fucking hated it. And to be honest with you, I hated it so much that I really didn't want to watch NXT this week. Like, very tasteless. I didn't like it at all. And it's, I think I agree with everyone in the who got released with them saying, oh, so I could, what do I need to do to get a contract? Cry?
Right. Yes, about the whole situation, definitely. That's what you need to do. Cry. But, you know, because also look at the social landscape. People lost their jobs. Really? So what are they going to do, cry to become a security guard again? Like,
it pissed me off. Like, even, like, I don't agree with a lot of things Lio Rush has said, but the one thing that pissed me off 100% was what happened. Lio Rush said it perfectly. He goes, yo, I lost my job for real, for real. I lost my income for real, for real.
Yeah, but you know what, Lio? You're a bitch. Honestly, you're a real bitch because you continue to talk about, oh, I don't want to talk about wrestling, but you're on social media talking about wrestling.
He will never stop talking about wrestling.
You're crying about something that occurred during a European trip where that happens to everybody who's a rookie.
Yep.
It's rookie hazing. Everybody goes through that. You think Miz cried like a fucking woman when he had to change outside the locker room for 6 months? I mean, come on, Lio. Cut it out.
People get shit in their bags, et cetera. Yeah. It's the way. So, stop being a pussy, Lio. But I do agree with him on the fact that everyone else lost their jobs for real, for real. And you're going to make it a storyline for Drake because he cried online. You know, very tasteless in my opinion. I didn't like it at all. I found it very disrespectful. And I found it a spit in the face to everyone who got released. So, NXT, not a good job. Not at all. But that was NXT. Quickly on the SmackDown, Jeff Hardy opened up the show to speak his side of the story. About what happened last week. Elias is legitimately injured, by the way. That's how they wrote him. That's how they wrote him off television.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he got seriously hurt, which I don't care because I think Elias is terrible as a face. So please come back as a heel. Elias needs to be a heel like Randy Orton does. Like, don't change ever. And Elias as a face is the worst thing I've ever seen on television. Jeff Hardy says that Sheamus basically filled his car with alcohol and set up the whole thing, and that Jeff he didn't slip up, which what a tasteless storyline. Jeff Hardy literally just got arrested a few months ago. Can we fucking like really propose to put the brakes on this fucking bullshit? Sheamus comes out, they both get into a fight. Sheamus is on top. Otis defeats King Corbin via disqualification. Lacey Evans defeats Sonya Deville via pinfall, which my story of the whole entire night on SmackDown is Lacey Evans and Sonya Deville. I think that was a great contest. I think Lacey and Sonya are really coming to their own, and I think they're becoming their own entities in a good way. Sonya Deville got distracted by Mandy Rose, which ended up for Lacey Evans to get the woman's right. Real quick, before I speed up the rest of this SmackDown, what do you thought about Lacey Evans and Sonya this week? Because I'm pointing that out particularly because I thought they really stood out.
Yeah, they did. They really did. And Sonya is really... Remember, I've liked Sonya from the beginning. I've liked her look.
Yeah.
I like the whole the way that she carries herself in the ring. I've always said that she carries herself probably in equal levels with Shayna Baszler.
Like, yeah, I do. Yeah, I agree.
They love Ronda, but I can't stand the way she fucking wrestles.
Yeah, I can't stand it either. And if I was Vince McMahon and Sonya Deville came to me and told me that her catchphrase is put your hair up and square up, that sounds money all over the place.
Exactly, yeah.
That sounds like a fucking money-ass catchphrase. Like, that's perfect. Like, Sonya Deville creates cash, and they're missing a big opportunity if they don't put the belt on her eventually, or they give her a big opportunity elsewhere because she's a star. Lacey Evans, I'll be the first one to say it. You proved me wrong. You're a star as well, kid. She's a star as well. And I think the women's division on SmackDown is really getting better here. Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles come face-to-face ahead of the IC Tournament title finals at Backlash. Everyone's pissed off because Brie Bella posted a picture of the Intercontinental Championship with Daniel Bryan's side plates. And they're like, oh, thanks, Brie, for spoiling it. No. That's not true. At first, I was like, oh, really, Brie? Why? But then AJ Styles got the same belt with his side plates on it, and it melted his house because he posted it as well. So it wasn't a spoiler. It was more of like they got that shit in the mail with their side plates, and they were just showing up. AJ did the same thing. But Daniel Bryan said that his vision of what he wants to do the rest of his career is to put young guys over. AJ Styles said, fine, I'll put a young guy over. I'll face a young guy. I'll give a young guy a chance. I'll give Drew Gulak a chance. And how did that end? With Drew Gulak with the roll-up for the win. Probably Drew Gulak's best match of biggest win of his career. This match reminded me of, I don't know why, because it shouldn't. It was kind of like Razor Ramon versus 1-2-3 Kid. Nice roll-up surprise.
Yeah.
But Drew Gulak, of course, is way better than fucking 1-2-3 Kid. But very cool surprise there. And finally, two more things. Throughout the entire night, Braun Strowman was getting pranked by The Miz and John Morrison in a surveillance van, which was fucking hilarious. People hated this. I thought it was great. It's Miz and Morrison to the T. They're both clowns, and they want to poke the bear. That's what they did. By trying to slime Braun, but I got Charlie Caruso. They fucked up his car, whatever. Ended up with Braun Strowman finding the van, tipping it over, and I thought it was a funny moment. What do you thought about the entire theme to this week being to playing jokes on Braun, like poking the bear?
I get it, and that's the way that I was taking it. As you know, usually I'll fucking be, you know, bitter about certain shit like that, but I understood it. I get it. It's them. That's their gimmick. They're fucking assholes. So that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, they're the fucking pranksters, which is fine by me. And finally, on SmackDown, we had Bayley and Sasha Banks defeating Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross, which is why I said they're going to split, to become the two-time SmackDown and Raw NXT, whatever the fuck you want to call it, Women's Tag Team Champions to end the night. Bayley and Sasha, really cool to see them win the belts. This is definitely going to proceed their storyline to hate each other even more. And I do expect a split up between Alexa and Nikki Cross. The match wasn't amazing, but it definitely was fun. And that ended SmackDown, and then I'm tapping out.
Alrighty, guys. And this is our 30-minute smart. Sorry that we had to do it this way, but, you know, due to audio and technical issues. Fuck it. At least we have an outlet where we can share with everybody. So, guys, make sure you check us out, as always, on all social media outlets, the Like Group page on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Anchor, YouTube, Mi Gente, Black Planet, J-Date, wherever the fuck you can find us, we're there, as well as all the podcasting outlets on iHeart, Spotify, Google Play Music, Google Podcasts, and wherever the fuck all podcasting is, except on fucking Pandora.
Of course.
We're working on it. And as always, check us out at RageWorks.net, as well as on RageWorksNetwork.com. We are out of here for the 30-minute smart. Don't forget to download this week's episode 169, When Will It Stop? Big, powerful episode. We pull back the layers of wrestling, and not only that, we also pull back the layers on our personal lives and what we do in this social media climate, the social climate right now in which we live in. So don't want to miss that. So, guys, take care. We out of here, and take a bump. Later.
Later.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.